Okay, go ahead about your grandfather.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, in finding and like really learning the history of my family tree, I know where my energy comes from, right? I know whose mark is on my soul, and that's my great-great-grandfather. I know that that's how I move around the world, around, navigate this life, is with that energy. With that Ogun energy. You know what I'm saying? Like that strength and that sense of warrior, you know, that sense of warrior, and also to be self-determined. Because I did this early thing where, I'm going to go to college. But then after a while, like I said, none of this resonated with me. I was like, this is just weird. Like, why can't I sit here with the rest of my friends and just be happy doing the weird thing? That's not my path.
That's right.
Working for other people in the traditional sense is not my path. Serving my community is my path. And that is what he did through his farming and through agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of his community. So that's where our answers are. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that just, you know, kind of like you said, going back into history and trying to figure out where our origins, that's all great and fine. But if you look in your family tree, you know exactly who you are.
That's right.
And you know exactly how you're moving and how you're supposed to move.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're carrying that energy with you. Energy don't die, it just transfers.
Mm-hmm. It's right there in you. Look at yourself.
It's right there in this. Yeah. So I think that is the beautiful thing, and you're right. None of it matters. To sit down in the study, really, at the end of the day, and I'm not saying that's what you're doing, because you definitely informed me, and I appreciate these, you know, this conversation, enlightening me in certain ways, because I think it does help you determine how to navigate when you have right information, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times people do all this studying just to mentally masturbate, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, but what are you actually contributing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of these things. But what are you contributing? And that's a difference.
That is a huge difference. You know what I'm saying? What value are you bringing to the table?
Exactly. So, you know, I think definitely leaving this conversation or being in this conversation is just another reiteration of what's important, and that is essentially just raising your vibration. And I'm grateful that the weather is breaking and that I'm able to spend more time outside. I mean, I even took advantage of some snow days and, you know, connected, you know, at the river, in the snow, but that's not always ideal, but it's nature, right? And so I'm grateful for being on a spiritual path that intentionally connects me with nature. Grateful for my family history of, you know, being in the church. I definitely believe it protected me in ways where I wasn't, you know, making poor teenage decisions, to be honest. But it didn't serve me as a woman, you know what I'm saying, as an adult. And I'm, like I said, I'm just grateful to be on a path that doesn't take me into a building once a week, and that's where my religion is, and that's where it stays, that I can connect to nature at any given time. And that was really my exodus out the church. It took some years, but there are times where I recall going through some of the darkest times of my life and seeking God through the only way that I knew, which was the church, because that's how I was raised. And I was coming up zero sum. I was like, what? And only when I really, nature, a caterpillar, a bluebird, those were the things that made me understand God is around me at all times.
Come on now. Come on, because there's something about the way when you take the time to observe nature, it calms the mind in such a way to where God can talk to you. I can talk to you now. it's just different. It's like you can be in nature, and like, cause I stay in nature. Like if you check out one of my meditation shows, one show is just nothing but grasshoppers, and they just singing, and it's loud. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you can meditate to it. But if it was like the city, where there's a bunch of horns honking and people yelling, you can't meditate to that. No, and it's loud, just like nature loud. But you can find tranquility in nature that you can't yes. find in other places.
This is where our grounding comes from. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then like honestly, it's like I love to see our women and men even embracing the aesthetic. I mean, aesthetics only go take you so far, right? It's real cute. But that discerning spirit and that higher vibration lets you know real quick who's just pretty. who's just put on versus who's really, you know, kind of tapped in. And that's how we choose community. That's how we connect with community, is by, you know, being tuned in like that and developing those connections and being in alignment. But you can only be in alignment when you're connecting with the source. And so, you know, it's beautiful finding myself sitting out in the backyard somewhere just meditating, right? Or doing crystal work or doing moon work, you know, doing spiritual baths. Like, because in those moments, I'm centering myself through the connection of nature. And like I said, you know, it's aesthetically, it has an aesthetic to it, but it's a true, you know, it's a true transformative practice.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
You know, you talk about, you know, just a minute ago, I was talking about the domineering women in my family. I mean, we were angry and violent. Like, let's just keep it real. There's so many stories about the women in my family. I'm like, oh, I got it honest, huh? But I'm so far from that woman I used to be. You know, so just, again, you know, just certain things happen in my family tree that, and only by learning the true stories about who my family was, mm-hmm. like, and connecting all of the dots, mm-hmm. and understanding this grandmother died then and this grandmother died then I knew, like, oh, that's why we eat a little type crazy. You know what I mean? We're females who were raised by a stoic man.
And that's how you know black women wasn't oppressed, because black women, it was revered in our society, always has been. Mm-hmm. Black women was never oppressed. They just changed our mm-hmm. objective. Now, white women may have been oppressed.
Oh, absolutely.
But true.
And
but,
they were.
But in my, 100%, but in they my opinion, property. In my opinion, he just changed. They changed her objective. Her objective as well. Because I'm sure the white man enjoyed her sitting her butt at home. You know what I'm saying? So it's people, and this is why I was gonna do my "People Ain't Shit" podcast. Because what white people have allowed to happen is that they have been infiltrated by a group of people that appears to look like them, but they not really them. And they have fucked up everybody's society.
Yeah, I definitely believe that there are. Now, I don't know if you're saying the same thing that I'm saying, but I definitely believe that there are a soulless people walking around here. People that just not connected to humanity.
It's a different group of people, and I think that is AI. AI, they trying to act like AI is coming, but I think AI is all been here. Well, I know AI been here for a long time. But
yeah,
I'm talking about the like what's going on now. These could be some bots. They could be anything. Some kind of
right.
What they say? What is sentient being?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you got to think about it because, you said something, and I wanted to go back there for just a second. I'm not going to dwell there because I'm not a white woman and never lived the life of one. However, you know, you said, you know, they changed their objective. Well, if you think about it, and again, we can probably think about this even in terms of what you're saying. Too many black women enslaved or freed have taken care of the wife's duties, even though she wasn't working outside the home. Therefore, she needed to feel like she needed to change her objective because she felt useless. When you're not feeding your own child from your breast.
Where did the useless thought come from? What made her think that? What made her go from being a woman that
that you want to
take care of her child and raise her children and teach them and do all this stuff to now I'm useless?
That was a transition even in there where I went from, you know, feeding my children suckling from my breast to now my children are suckling from this black or, you know, from the, you know, And, you know, I'm just supposed to sit at home and be pretty, which is why it's always been funny to me, just inherently as a black woman, I just never really understood feminism because I'm like, I don't think I've ever felt the need to ask someone to be a woman or to do what I needed to do for myself or my family or whatever. Like, I never had to ask permission, so I can't relate.
I get it. And, you know, feminism is a lot of, I don't have to ask a man for nothing, too.
And the thing is, and I still couldn't relate because, no, I don't have to ask a man for anything, but that's just because I was brought up in a time where being self-sufficient, man or woman, was the order of the day.
Come on now.
Like, it's not so much I don't need a man, but what I'm saying is until that man shows up, I still have to take care of myself.
That's true.
You know, what am I expected to do? And that's what I just never, you know, even sometimes in that argument, you know, or that debate or that conversation, it's like, well, men... And, you know, we could get into that, you know, even on a different date. But, you know, we talk about how the family structure. And so in a lot of indigenous and ethnic cultures, including African cultures, we're not kicking kids out the house at 18 and telling them to go figure it out, right? Yeah. You're there until you don't be there any longer. You know, but now we're like, oh, you're useless if you live with your parents. Well, I might just be living with my mom so I can save up to buy my first house without having to get it out the mud for no reason, you know. Or I can make sure my credit is straight, or I can make sure that, you know, we have a nest egg, like whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But also when we, you know, we have this, so again, it's like people want to be traditionalist until it's convenient for them.
It's like, amazing how these, you know, other ethnic groups could come together and live together and get their finances straight. But when we are living in with our parents or whatever the case may be, it's taboo. You know what I'm saying?
It's taboo.
But like, you can have a group of Hispanics that you got two generations in there.
Yep.
In the same house. You know what I'm saying? And they all getting money. They all getting money. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think, but it goes back to programming again. We've been programmed to be independent because how, when they got us to start looking outside of ourselves, and this been the bane of our fall in society as black people, right? The bane of our fall in society was when they got us to start looking outside of ourselves for gratification versus looking inside ourselves.
Yep.
And black people still suffer from that tremendously today.
Exactly, because you want to know one of the most painful things for me to continue to observe and witness, and it comes from not just my peers and contemporaries, but even just some of my elders. But we really hate living in community with each other.
That's
we
right.
actually hate each other.
That's
I've
right.
heard so many black people who say that, you know, I'm for my people, but they like, I don't want to live around them, though. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I don't want to. It's like, this the weirdest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all really hate yourselves. Like, we really hate us to mm-hmm. where we don't even want to stay committed to investing in our own community mm-hmm. because we tired of living around each other.
Oh, yeah.
That is so wild to me. That is insane to me. I'm like, I can't even fathom, like, and once again, just certain things in me made me make certain decisions and choices in my community, my city being literally divided, white and black, you know what I'm saying? East side versus west side, and then you got the suburbs. And I saw the decline of my West Dayton community where I grew up and where I thrived and where my mother was able to raise two kids off of one check, you know what I'm saying, off of one income.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have plenty of opportunities. I mean, there was nothing. I was literally raised middle class. There was nothing I didn't have access to growing up. Like, absolutely nothing. But to see the struggle that I've been doing because the industries have changed and I just simply have a psychology degree. So I'm not making any money as an educator. I'm not making any money as a, you know, community worker or social service worker. Like, you know, I'm not even making livable wages.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I could have made any decision to leave my community and live in better, you know, conditions because I saw the divestment. Like, once I graduated from high school, I saw the divestment in my community. Yes, the automotive industry and the manufacturing industry is big reason why a lot of things shut down here and slowed down economically, but why haven't we caught up in 30 years? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an intentional divestment from black leaders in my community that to this day makes me sick to my stomach because they're still walking around here peacocking, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to stay in my community because I want to live amongst my people.
And that's why when this thing collapsed, that's why they're doing all of this to our benefit, but people just, that's why I talk, you know what I'm saying? To try to show people the positive in this shit that's about to happen, although it sounds tragic. And so they're trying to give us the opportunity to realize where we failed or went wrong at, you know what I'm saying, so that we can make a better choice. So when this thing collapsed, this is our opportunity to realize that we don't need leaders no more. Our gods, our lords, our kings. Because all these are titles for men.
Mm-hmm.
Our politicians.
Yeah.
Yep. Our presidents,
which
these are titles.
Operates within a system that will never benefit you as a collective.
That's right.
Collective.
It will never, the government, our God, will never benefit people as a collective. Never. And you can read that all through the Bible. He slays and everything. You know what I'm saying? He spares only a few. And so, when we realize that it's us that matters and not some lordship that we need somebody to constantly tell us what to do, or we constantly live in fear of, or we constantly look to for guidance and we get centered. And when I say centered, like get inside oneself and realize we are what matters. Not having somebody to look up to. But to look across at versus looking up at. You see what I'm saying? Like, we need to look at in front of us versus looking up at somebody.
But you know what? What also is happening, so we laugh, right? We're on social media. Oh, these pandemic babies. Oh, this baby been here before. It's cute, but it's true. Because mine is 18. She'll be 19 at the end of the year, so technically she just turned 18. She's graduated from high school, but she's so insightful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has an old soul, and there's been, you know, for the most part, as much as you can confirm or verify if you're on that spiritual tip, that she done been here a couple tours. You know what I'm saying? Her soul is, and I believe it, you know, when we have certain conversations and the way she envisions her life, it tracks. She's completion. She's tired. She's been here for centuries. She's like, I'm elevating, so I ain't got to do this again.
That's right.
We done. It is finished.
That's right.
So with that being said, she sees a lot because she knows a lot intrinsically, right? Her spirit knows a lot. So one of the things that she has said was, we really need to go back to villages. We to just get stronger. We need to reinstitute the bartering system. Because it works.
And that's what we're finna do, because she's here because this is the greatest time in time. Like, this event that we're on right now, this horizon, the event horizon, this event horizon is a eon as well as an age. We're in a huge cycle. One of the biggest cycles that haven't been around for thousands of years. Maybe millennium. Millennial. And so this is, so a lot of these children being born are old souls, because they're here for this great event. They're here for this great event. And so we have to pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Pay attention. I just happen to have a abstract analytical way of looking at the world, and so that's why I see things the way I do. You know what I'm saying? And it sounds like your daughter sees it the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, this event that's about to unfold, and I got to get to the test part too, because people are going to be tested like they never been tested. And so but this event that's unfolding is to give the consciousness, the conscious field, the ability to create a new future, or to keep us in this bondage. That's part of the duality. And so when this thing collapses, if we choose to no more leaders, then we'll move into this, like she said, this village mindset, but it'll be more of a nucleus mindset. You know what I'm saying? This community, this nucleus, we got nucleuses now everywhere. And we protect each other, teach each other, barter with each other. Just, you know, everything is within this nucleus. You know what I'm saying? That nucleus can be, you know, up to 10,000 people. Because after that, you probably start getting a lot of problems, I suppose. Or we could do that, or we can go back to picking these leaders and people to make decisions for us. Or we can go into where we can make decisions for ourselves. This is part of the conscious collective. This is going to be that window in time, because they're not doing this because they want to. They're doing this because they have to. Because time, the God said, when I say the gods, I'm talking about the stars, the alignment. God said that you have to give them the choice. And so now is our time for the choice. And so it's up to us to make a choice. And so this choice that we're gonna be faced with is that, do we want leaders, or do we want to work with our be part of the people again? And so that's gonna be that's one of our choices. The next choice is gonna come down to this God. That's gonna come down too. And so that's why this, like a lot of stuff, the Bible is so important. So that you can see who this God is. Without blind going, having blind faith, you can have real faith. All you gotta do is read, because that's what knowledge is. You know what I'm saying? So now we can read and see how this God operates, so that when this God, or this, well, really the Lord, so when the Lord comes back, you know what I'm saying, this is gonna be the final test. Are you gonna follow the Lord or not?
The interesting thing about it is not what most people think, right? And so unfortunately, a lot of people are on this path thinking that they're preparing the way to meet the Lord in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But you really probably going to be one of the ones left behind, because it's a synthetic version.
Mm-hmm.
That you're living synthetically, you know. It was so interesting, you know, just even in terms of how we connect. And I think it's beautiful, actually. Like, I'm seeing even things in my family, because there's so many of us who say we're the black sheep. But definitely, spiritually, I'm the black sheep, right? Me and my sister, that we don't go that way no more.
Mm-hmm.
And especially me. And they know that I have very strong opinions and political views and religious views, and a lot of them just be like, okay, then. But I'm starting to see them reconcile with the important parts. And the first part to me, and I think that's the first part of anybody's spiritual journey, is reverence to your ancestors, right?
Mm-hmm.
We never talk about celebrate. You know, we talk about my ancestors. We talk about my grandmother and my aunts and my uncles. But here in recent years, in the last couple of years, it looks like they're starting to have ceremonies at their grave sites, right? Mm-hmm. At my grandmother's grave site, to give her honor and thanks. And I'm like, that is beautiful, because mm-hmm. that's where it's start.
Mm-hmm.
Start somewhere.
I bought my daughter a movie. I wish I could think of the name of it so I could tell you, because it's a great movie to watch. It's a cartoon. It's a cartoon movie about this little boy in Mexico, a matador or something like that. But it's about them giving thanks to their ancestors and talk about how you in the when you and it talks about
Coco.
That's it, Coco. And it talks about the dead.
Yep. Movie, it is so beautiful, yes.
That movie right there is telling some real truth.
Yes.
Remember the dead. If not, they go to the land of the forgotten.
Yes. Exactly. And that is who sustains us. That is who lives inside of us, right? And so I think, like I said, coming from a family where pretty much everybody is a preacher, which means that, you know, everybody's a priesthood, preacher, however you look at it. But everybody, you know, is just like these devout Christians, right? And
nobody got no understanding.
Right, I'm like, that makes no sense to me, because we're supposed to all be on one accord, and yes, it's about growth and development, and so you still don't, nobody know everything, but y'all literally arguing, and that's a problem, and if you don't see it, so... With that being said, I have to give thanks for the small things, like my family members coming together and honoring my grandmother, mm-hmm. you know, on her birthday and things of that nature, because that's just something we've never practiced in our family, right? Just not never. And so, you know, my mom looks at me crazy. She listens to me now, but sometimes that look come over her face, because I was like, yeah, when I was cooking for the ancestors, she's like, what? In those practices, I am remembering those who came before me, mm-hmm. right? But I'm also getting back to who I am, because I'm cooking food in a way that I've never cooked before. I mean, mm-hmm. over the weekend, black eyed peas, mm-hmm. black eyed peas, okra, you know, things mm-hmm. that, because I'm remembering.
Do you eat the food? Do you eat the food or what?
So, traditional African practices, ancestors eat first. So, they cook. And, you know, again, just when you're talking about day-to-day, and because of how they live, and ancestors are typically buried under the houses, under the compound, mm-hmm. they'll throw maybe, like, their first bite to the floor. And that's the offering, right?
Mm.
But, of course, times have changed. We're living in a different society, so there's different ways. But essentially, some people will cook And the first serving, like, so sometimes, like, the first serving of what I cook will go to the ancestors. Like, I'll put that, you know, at the altar. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I'm just really, like, you know, giving honor, really wanting to concentrate, really wanting to connect, I'll do, like, a 3-course meal, right? And that's all there. Sometimes I have to prepare my meal differently because there's just certain things that you're not supposed to include, you know, in terms of just spiritual household things, you're not supposed to include in their meals. And so I have to separate, and I'll cook the food first based on, you know, what is prescribed that way. And then I'll continue to prepare my meal, with the seasonings and different things that I would take. But really, you know, you're just supposed to prepare it the way that they, that you know that they ate it, you know? It gets a little nuanced, but for the most part, there's no wrong way to do it, well, right?
The reason why I'm asking is because in part of our rising or awakening or just understanding that we're supposed to be coming into is that is understanding thing at its from the root at its deepest level, because you remember the root chakra is the first chakra and it's the last, you know, the first and last chakra, it's everything. And so, like, the reason why I ask do you eat the food is to, you got the practices too. And so, when we talk about the ancestors live inside of us, but then if we take some food and then we sit it at an altar and leave it there to throw out the next day or whatever, like, are we really acknowledging that they live inside of us?
Yeah. Because, and the reason why I would say yes, is because what we're doing is we are in ritual, ritual establishes that connection. So here, if you think, how do I want to say this? We always say the body is the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And in saying that, we recognize that, once again, indoctrination. So sometimes we hear that, and that means to us what we've been indoctrinated to believe. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't drink any alcohol. Oh, you can't smoke. Oh, you can't X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the body is the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is through... And for me, this is through my Christian upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'll eat things that poison the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be fast food.
It could be sugar.
It could be pork. Because most of my family overeat.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in the church overeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but in saying that, what do? We fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we fast, we're not fasting. Some people like to use fasting as a diet, even spiritually, like, oh, maybe I can do it up. No. Your point in fasting is there is a physical resetting of your body.
Mm-hmm.
However, you're not fasting, and again, I'm not speaking for everyone, but we're talking about what people are typically engaged in terms of practice and ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going on the 21-day Daniel fast in February. Why? Because we are trying to establish a deeper connection with God,
mm-hmm.
with our spiritual self, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going on this fast. This is basically the same thing. Because in my ritual, by me putting a plate of food out or by me offering food. This is me doing something in ritual that connects me to my ancestors.
Okay.
They're inside of me,
so,
but I'm doing something intentional to remember them and to honor them and to establish connection with them and communication with them. Because here's the thing. If I believe, I don't mind telling my age. If I believe that, I'm 41, I'm 43, but if I believe that 41, my ancestors are walking with me. Mm-hmm. They were walking with me when I was two. I just never acknowledged it because there was no practice of it.
True.
But they were always there.
True.
But only in my journey, because we never gave reverence to. There's a lot of cultures that, and even European cultures, that will give reverence to their ancestors through offerings and things of that nature. We weren't one of them because we were disconnected from our practices.
And this is what I'm ultimately getting at. For us to evolve, because I'm all about the evolution of people. Mm-hmm. For us to evolve, we have to be able to see the flaw in what we've been taught. And so my true questioning was to get the understanding and the clarity, and then to bring forward the evolution. Where we fail, another part of the fall was, like I said earlier, was getting us to look outside of ourselves versus looking inside. Now, when we was fully internal beings, that's when we was at our height, and that's when we had our greatest power. All of the practices that we have created, like a ritual, for instance. A ritual is something that is used to connect us when we cannot connect. So evolution would be learn how to reconnect again and move away from doing the external practices.
The only reason why I'm going to challenge, and I don't even know if challenge is the right word, but I'm thinking about what you literally just said about Coco, remembering the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Day of the Dead, Dela, I always have a mouthful when I say it, so I'm not even going to say it. My daughter laughs at me. But the Day of the Dead literally is a ritual,
mm-hmm,
of putting up things and celebrating and, mm-hmm, putting up pictures,
mm-hmm,
of their ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a gateway opportunity there, right? Mm-hmm. This is the day that the dead walk the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the celebration, all of the cakes, all of the pictures being placed on the mantle,
mm-hmm,
that's all that ritual.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
Why question it when it's African, based on African spiritualism, but it was one of the most beautiful movies you saw?
It came to Coco because
it's the same exact exchange of energy.
The thing is this, we have to remember we come from a point of higher being, and part of the practices that we're considering to be ancient, or the practices that you're talking about, those are part of the practices that came along when we fail.
Or did it? Because in some instances, it's because we chose to give up our practices in exchange for something that wasn't for us. And we were told that our practices was going to bring us doom. But essentially, it was us denying those practices that ushered in what we've been experiencing for the last 400, 500 years.
Well, we're in two different time zones. My time zone is back. I'm talking about 4 million years ago. You're talking about you're talking about 500 years ago. And so I see what you.
How do you even get to that point of evolution? Like, how can you skip the process? At some point, if you're going to evolve, evolution means that you're connected to something. So I can't evolve. If I come into this world,
okay,
and all I know is colonized indoctrination,
mm-hmm, uh-huh,
I have to continue to work my way back.
That's true.
In order to even think about evolution.
That's true.
That surpasses.
That's true.
What was there before.
That's true. But this is the thing. It's just like what I was talking about earlier. We knew we was enslaved. That was all we need to know. And so let's move forward. We knew that, okay, once we learned that, okay, we used to do this, okay, that's what all we need to know. Let's move forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because I see the benefit in my life. And once again, I'm coming from a deeply religious Pentecostal, Kojic, Baptist background.
I was going to ask what your denomination
I'm just talking about my experience. I'm talking about my spiritual awakening. So for me coming from that and feeling completely lost in the world at all times, like I said, it was a benefit because it kept me from getting in trouble. But I never felt a connection. And as I said, like, being on this path has allowed me to not just reconnect with Earth, it's allowed me to reconnect with and learn things about who I am through my practices that honor my ancestors. And to me, it's bringing me into a space that opens me up for what needs to evolve. But before, I just felt like I was just floating around and literally was suffering from depression all the time.
I understand. And so, like, so what I'm saying is that this, not everything that you're saying is absolutely right. That's where it starts at. But we can't stay there. We have to complete the circle. And I'm not saying you have to do it now. I'm just saying this is the part, it's a mindset and it's a process. You know what I'm saying? It's a process.
You move through how you move through. And because you couldn't have told me at 21. That I would be experiencing and doing things at 43 that I'm doing, I can't tell you what I'm going to be doing 20 years from now.
There you go. But I can tell you this, sometimes it takes exposure in order for us to realize, okay, this is where I evolved to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like knowledge. If you don't have
what are you exposed?
Say what now?
So what is the exposure? Because you're saying there's a level to evolve to, but what does that look like? And it's interesting that you're saying this because I just had a conversation with someone not too long ago, and even in this conversation, she said, gender is not a thing. There's no such thing, and I understand gender as a construct, but even there's no such thing as man or woman. There's no such thing as anything that separates us. There's something that is really all encompassing. So it's just one thing. It's I forget the word that was being used, but essentially, your body parts don't matter.
Right. So to answer that question, okay, that type of that's trying to move away from nature totally. I'm not trying to move away from nature. I'm looking at the evolution of nature. What am I saying? So currently we eat for food, right? Right?
We eat for food?
Yes. We eat for food, right?
We eat unnecessarily, but most of it, if you're in a true spiritual practice, you are eating to sustain your body. Are you saying fuel or food?
Well, I was saying food, but I meant fuel, but yeah.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And so we eat, right? But you have people that have been evolving. You have people that are known today as breatharians. And if you go back in history, so we go from a stage of being breatharians to a stage of vegetarians, and then we go to carnivorous. And so now people are talking about going to being vegetarians again, but yet you also have a group of people that are breatharians. So you have a group of people that have seemingly skipped an entire process in the evolution.
And go and here's go my and whole go. Thing, though. But did they? So when you're saying that, and again, this is just how you build. But did they skip the process? Because
I said seemingly.
When you're born into the world, you're going to, if nothing else,
that's right,
you're going to be sustained by the milk in your mother's breast.
That's true.
And in order for you to thrive, you have to be given food. Now, whether that food is processed in junk versus an apple,
mm-hmm,
puree, you know what I'm saying, more natural, more, let's not even use the word organic right now, because now we're getting convoluted, but just to keep it basic, like I said, whether it's processed, whether it's fat and greasy, or whether it's, vegetable or fruit puree, you're putting something into the body. Mm-hmm. But as this person develops and grows,
mm-hmm,
even their parents, let's just say their parents were, as I think you're saying, breatharian, at some point you, mm-hmm, have to live and wean that child,
mm-hmm,
off of food.
Mm-hmm.
And in this society, if a child isn't eating and they're not thriving,
mm-hmm,
they're considered malnourished,
mm-hmm,
then that might be a problem. So at what point does this change take place? And I don't know much about it, but it would seem to be something, like you said, people return to. So once I've gotten myself to the point where now I'm plant-based, now I'm eating one meal a day.
Right.
Now, you know what I'm saying? To the point where I just need one meal a day. But you didn't start off that way.
Well, scientists know that we're on the verge of the great synchronicity. And they have studied this throughout time. And they say it's a point in the cycle where the earth regurgitates life itself. And people and all consciousness on earth evolves. It turns into something else. Whether that'll be new type of beings that's still man, because man is supreme being, but we may look different. We may.
And I've considered, in my own personal head, considered that.
We may act different. I've heard, mm-hmm, people say that they talk about the dinosaurs went extinct. I've heard people say, well, we are the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
We evolved. And so this evolution is something that is okay. This is, I guess, is, I'm gonna look at it, let's go with this approach. To truly ascend, we have to give up everything that is here. And if you wanna go with the Bible, it's like how Jesus says to get into heaven, you have to a man that puts his hand on the plow and look back, he'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So you have to be able to give up everything that you know of in order to really move forward. And that's why I was saying we can't get caught up in the cycle. Okay, it's good to go back and remember the ancestors, but let's not get stuck there, because it's still something that we must give up.
Well, I feel like you're quantifying somebody's experience, because I'm thinking here, this is also illustrating an evolution. So I think it's a good footnote, but I think that's a whole basis of a spiritual journey, because right now, let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to pay my bills? No. You know what I'm saying? If I'm at my most evolved place,
mm-hmm,
I'm not even concerned with the falling of this world to even talk about getting with the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be sustainable. Because none of that matters.
True.
If we're talking about our most evolved state,
mm-hmm,
none of this society, social construct, mm-hmm, even whether it's village or bartering or borders or passport or any, none of it matters, because spiritually, I'm so evolved that I'm good without any of it. And that was essentially like that conversation I was having when we were talking about what the genders are. And it's like, you know, I just think that if we're going to be honest with it, like everything that we get up and work for, it's pointless.
I'm glad that you understand that.
If we're talking about our most spiritually evolved self,
so I'm glad
I don't need any of this material thing. I don't need this money. I don't need this car. And I definitely don't need to be going into a job that causes me stress. Thank God I ain't got that right now. But you see what I'm saying.
So that's where the divine, that's where the divinity comes in at. And I'm glad you have that understanding. Because now that's where the divinity comes in at. Because now you know the balance. To know that none of it matters, but at the same time it does. So while you know that it does, you do something to help the world. But at the same time, to know that you got something bigger and better to do.
And some of us may see it, and I'm not going to say that I'm going to see it, because I don't know, because to be perfectly honest with you, at 43 years old, I'm just now feeling like I'm starting to be able to even live. But there's, again, always that duality. It goes back to what we were saying earlier, knowing that the world is crumbling around us versus saying, you're good, because spiritually none of this matters. That still doesn't mean that there's this reality that I'm in this world right now, my own protector and provider, without a community that is going to help sustain me if somebody drops something on my head or, you know, in my neighborhood tomorrow. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
hey, look, we got about 9 more minutes and we're going to wrap it up. I just want to let you know.
We can wrap up. But yeah, I mean, I definitely do believe. I'm not saying that to give myself a pass, but I'm just being honest. Will I ever see that level of spirituality? Maybe, maybe not. Because I look, some people, and again, I don't know if this is just environment and life experience and I'm letting that be my guide and I'm still holding on to certain things that make me feel this way, but how some people can look at their futures and be like, oh, I can see my grandkids and I can see us living here and I can see us doing that. I've always just seen myself on somebody's, not even somebody's, a little porch in a rocking chair on an old dusty road by myself. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if that's because of this idea that I'm going to always be by myself. Or if that's truly what my future looks like. But for the first time in my life, I feel like I have something worth getting up and looking forward to.
And it's sitting on your rocker, on your porch, by yourself.
That ain't it. I'm talking about my present moment. Because I feel like if I'm on that rocker, on my porch, on my dusty road by myself, all is well. And I've lived a full life. And that's where my life took me, right? But right now, I've lived in survival mode. And I've just always just been reacting versus living and deciding, as we talked about earlier, the life that I want to manifest for me, because I've been trying to manifest everything for everyone else. So before I can get to the point of thinking where I'm supposed to evolve to, I want to just enjoy my present.
I'm going to tell you this book to get. Get this book right here, and this book is going to open you up to a whole new world. Get this book. Are you ready to write this down?
There's a pen, and
this book will open you up to a whole new world. And when you get this book, study this book. And because the way things are going in the world, you need to know that there's two different realities out here. And you need to know how to navigate this other reality, because things are going to get to the point where you can't afford to live. So you're going to have to know how to operate within this other reality. And part of the system breaking down is because people are learning about this other reality. You know what I'm saying? So the more and more people that learn about this other reality, the more we can get free. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Give Yourself Some Credit.
I'm sure you're
ready now. And because I said that they may try to make the book unavailable, so try to get it.
Okay.
Give yourself some credit. Because that book will open you up to a whole nother reality. And it's a reality that very few know about, but more and more are starting to learn. And the more and more they start to learn, the better situation we're gonna be in. But it also puts us in this, what we've been talking about earlier, the collapse, the going back to reestablishing order and the chaos, because people are not prepared, and they know black people not going to be prepared. They create a whole damn agenda around black people not being prepared, called Agenda 21. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Because they were like, they're going to be the least prepared. They're going to be distracted the most because they getting money now. And so they created Agenda 21 to know how to deal with us. And so, but get that book and so that you can learn about this other reality. And and put it in, apply it. I'm telling you, apply it. I wouldn't tell you if I haven't applied it. So apply it, and you're gonna be surprised at the way the Most High truly intended for us to live, and that goes back into canons. If you study canon law. And you will learn our divine law, and you will learn about how the Most High have given us everything that we can ever ask for. But because we live in sin or ignorance, we can't have it. So the whole world has been turned upside down. I just explained this to another lady. The whole world has been turned upside down is why you was born in sin. Your job is to figure out how to get out of sin. That's your job. And your job starts with getting the understanding of everything. And once you do, and you start realizing that everything is the opposite of what you've been taught, you will set yourself free of sin.
That's interesting. Okay.
So I'm gonna let you go on and wrap up the show. What do you want to leave people with as far as your message for today?
Oh, I didn't know I had a message to give to the world.
What's your message?
It's always keep seeking your own, seeking truth, seeking from within. You know, I think you spoke to that just in terms of external, but we look too much to what other people are doing or what other people tell us, and the answers are truly within.
They are. They are truly within.
So, yep, I think that would be the thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank you so much.
That's
very good, very engaging. Yes, yes, yes. Very, very thoughtful. A lot of things that I'm walking away with that I'm going to let sit, marinate, and evolve from.
Well, good stuff, good stuff. I definitely appreciate you coming on and taking the time to gossip with me. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
And let's talk about your awakening, and then we got into some of the stuff, and that was a great conversation. I enjoyed it a lot.
Absolutely, same, I say.
So I will be posing another question to the world. This one will probably be a little bit more touchy, and see how this go. And if you like the question, then just let me know, and we'll bring you back on.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And that's gossip. Have a good night.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Bye. And that's gossip. Thank you guys for coming in on the show. If you guys want to come in on one of the series of The Dawning, you can email me at deaconmaverick@gmail.com. Please subscribe. Please follow, hit that like button. I appreciate every one of you. Thank you.